What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Unfortunately for the Bucks, Doc, and Dame.
Thanks for thinking about me.
Well, I don't know how much longer people are going to be thinking about you, Doc, but that's another story. The conversation quickly became Giannis this summer and asking out of Milwaukee. That is, I mean, I don't even know that Dame's Achilles was x-rayed yet before this was the talk. And this is everywhere because everyone sees this for what it is. Milwaukee cannot win this series. They're going to lose in the first round for the second straight year. And now if you run the Milwaukee Bucks, you have to ask yourself, what do I do? If you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you have to ask yourself, what do I do? Am I defined by winning championships? Will I be defined by being a Milwaukee Buck my entire career? What will define my legacy? And those are questions he has to ask. Those are questions he has to answer. And that could determine not just his future, not just the Bucks' future. That could determine virtually every single thing that happens in the National Basketball Association this summer.
Honestly, at this point, I think the Bucks might be able to help him answer those questions too.
Well, so that's the question that you got to ask if you're, you know, the Bucks. If you're an NBA observer, do you, in a place like Milwaukee, this isn't LA or New York or anything like that, do you trade him without him requesting a trade?
I think you mutually come to that decision, word it however you want, but it's 1,000% time this offseason.
I agree.
You don't really have a future or anything like that. Dame is going to be out probably at least the season, if not most of next season. It's never been a more perfect time because it's like I think this is the way you can do it where you're not taking a heat on the organization. You're not taking heat if you're Giannis.
I feel like you've asked this before. This Warriors court is so distracting.
It's okay. I like the Golden Gate Bridge.
I don't. It just seems like a lot.
That player's a lot more distracting.
That's true. That's true. He's a hell of a defender.
A hell of a defender.
Like this play right here. Draymond Green's really good at what he does.
He's
an all pro jackass for 15 straight years, but he is.
He's one of the great defenders of all time. Yeah. Yeah. And as that play was happening, I was even like, "Why? I don't want to go with Draymond one-on-one."
Yeah, yeah, it was terrible.
Like, no, that's not
terrible.
What I want to do. I do have a remind me because we're talking about the Bucks right now. Remind me, Draymond Green, the end of that game defense.
Okay,
I want to get to that. But
so you say this, or used to say it, or I think you did. Maybe we've had a conversation. What Jesse just asked: if you're the Bucks, can you just trade him? Like, can you really do that? Like, can you really take a player who won you a championship, the caliber of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and just call the New York Knicks, call the Oklahoma City Thunder, call the Houston Rockets. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? And then make the move.
You mean that as in, like, can you just do it without talking to him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
No.
Now, obviously, it probably won't, like, the Luka thing obviously was kept under, despite what your boy is trying to tell everyone, that seemed to have been kept under wraps very tightly.
We'll talk about him, because he's shining bright like a diamond right now.
It's your boy.
He's shining bright. We got mixed up in the hysteria of what happened and was like, forgot that he might just be right. But that's another discussion as well.
The idea of trying to trade him, obviously he finds out during that process, ownership, front office, the team, in that case, immediately becomes the villain.
Yeah.
A lot of the asking out stuff, teams have probably wanted to trade players before. The Kings might have wanted to trade De'Aaron Fox. The Pelicans might have wanted to trade Anthony Davis. But you're immediately the villain if you ask out. And, the Bucks, we just want to do what's best for our team. You know, when you can kind of throw your hands up and go, we're just trying to do what's best for our fans and our organization. Whereas when Giannis says, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore, it's a lot harder to make the claim we're trying to do what's best for our fans and our organizations if you trade him just completely out of the blue.
Right.
Or it comes out, I didn't want to leave. They traded. We found out they were talking to the Knicks and the Thunder and the Rockets, you know, 3 days after these conversations. My agent found out. And that cast the Bucks in this case as the bad guy.
I would, and I don't know if this is the right or wrong thing to do, but I would absolutely have a conversation with Giannis, and it would be some real talk. I'd be like, Giannis, as a franchise, we're looking at the situation that we're in. First and foremost, I know a lot of people on Twitter, when I talked about this, you know, being the time to move him, you know, some people were like, come on, man. Like, you know, it goes bad once or twice and you're trying to trade him. No, that's not what's going on here. The Bucks have had a run of about 7-8 years of being championship contenders. And that's a hell of a run. They got one out of the whole deal. Maybe you feel they should have got two or whatever, but I'm looking at it like, you got one out of this and you're Milwaukee. Like, you won. You won in this situation. You did a great job. But I would talk to Giannis and be like, Giannis, as a franchise, if we're trying to build something and trying to move on into the next era, moving you right now would be best. We could maximize our return. We can get a jump start on, like I said, the next era of Bucks basketball. And if you aren't interested in being here anymore, there's no hard feelings. We understand that. We're trying to talk to you about it. Now, if you say, I understand we're in a tough spot, we probably aren't going to be that good for a while. We may never get back to the heights that we were at, you know, years ago. But I, Giannis, want to retire a Buck. I want to be Mr. Milwaukee Buck. If I'm the franchise, I don't move him. He means that much to that organization.
Okay, yeah.
And I will suffer losing, whatever. If Mr. Milwaukee Buck says, I want to be here forever, then he's going to be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would go about it. If he said he wanted to stay here, I wouldn't go behind his back and try to trade him and all this other stuff.
So
we would ride this thing out.
Let me go back to my original question then, which I didn't pose as a reason for, as a question for anyone to answer, except for Giannis. Mm-hmm. What's best for his legacy? He's won a title. He won a title in Milwaukee. He's been an MVP multiple times. Mm-hmm. He was very quietly, or is very quietly, because they haven't named it yet, very quietly in, he's one of the three named for, he's an MVP finalist this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it best to do what everybody else does, or what it seems like everybody else does, and try to get your way to another team where you can continue to contend for titles, because it does not feel like this team can? Mm-hmm. Or is it best for you to tough it out and be Dirk? which was essentially Dirk had one title in 20 years, mm-hmm. 19 or 20, I can't remember, with the Dallas Mavericks. I think it was 20. Which one's better?
It's hard to say which one's better and what's best for his legacy. I can say this, though. If he decided to stay in Milwaukee, it would not hurt his legacy because he got one there.
Mm-hmm.
He got one in Milwaukee, multiple-time MVP. In a spot like Milwaukee, if he said, I just want to be here and want to be part of this
city,
this
means
community,
too much to me.
I don't think it'll hurt his legacy at all. He's actually in a little bit of a win-win. And Jesse laid it out too. Like he's in a, because of how everything is kind of played out, this is the perfect out, you know. And if he wants to say, hey, I'm trying to win as many championships as possible, I don't think anybody will begrudge him for that as well. Seeing what the Bucks situation
Bucks fans
is.
Might.
If I was a Milwaukee Buck, I wouldn't. They shouldn't.
Mm.
They shouldn't. He brought you a championship. This thing is over. And if he wants to continue his career, going after championships and trying to be, he's got a potential to be a top 10 player of all time.
Is that all it takes? Is one, because that happened with Cleveland. LeBron won the title in Cleveland, goes to LA, and Cleveland's thrilled for him. This was not Miami. It was just like, yay, LeBron, good for you. Thank you for the title.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Hey, thanks for the title. Enjoy the Knicks.
In more places than not. And maybe it's this way in Los Angeles with the Lakers or with Boston or something like that, or Golden State. You give me one, I got to salute you. We'll just use De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox got one title here and 5 years later wanted to leave. You think anybody going to be mad at him? I'm sure there would be because people are just mad in general.
Karen Bagley would be mad.
He would. But come on, man. I don't feel like that would be fair or the right thing to do. Hell, the Vlade Divac got us to a finals, and I'd be like, yo, y'all chill on Vlade Divac. Or got us to a conference finals.
I'm like, say, no, he didn't.
I'm like, y'all chill on Vlade Divac.
We could have, but he had to tip the ball backwards.
So I think in markets like Milwaukee and many other markets in the country, like New York is a big market, but if it's not the same, but if Jalen just got you one, and wanted to leave after 3 years, he got in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it does take just that one. If you get that championship for that city, I think that's good enough. You're a made man at that point. You can do whatever you want. You can stay. You can leave. And if you decide to leave, I don't think anybody should feel any type of way because you brought something to that city that they hadn't seen in 50 years at that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A generation hadn't seen a championship.
This conversation, this is so funny. Game's at 3:00. This conversation. By the time
you don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
When you sit down to eat dinner, it's very possible that the Giannis Antetokounmpo's next destination articles are popping up on your feed like crazy.
This one they're putting on ESPN, the Ocho.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's crazy. I couldn't imagine putting a playoff game on ESPNU.
Well, look, they put it on NBA TV, so some people can't even see it.
Yeah, people might not even know.
People in Indiana.
Happening.
There's nothing wrong with playing on NBA TV, by the way. Well, just saying.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
It's a doubleheader on NBA TV.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, but there's no other move. You had to. There's no other move. Yeah. You're not putting the Knicks on NBA TV in a 3-1 series.
Let's see, yours is more intriguing. Boston's been beating up on Mickey
Mouse. Actually says a little something right there. That says a little something. Both with an opportunity to close out, and they said,
No, you put Knicks Pistons on TNT or whatever it is. Call it what you want, bro. I'll see you in the second round. I'll be back.
Real quick, I want to say something. We mentioned centers for a quick second. And somebody said the fact that Jonathan Majors wasn't in the movie as the brother. Jonathan Majors, I don't want to go too far. But I want to say he would have ruined that movie. He had no business. No, hell no. Michael B. Jordan, with a performance of his career, playing twins in the movie, he was perfect. Mm-hmm. He did a perfect job. Do not put Jonathan Majors anywhere near that movie. He would have been terrible.
Well, good thing they didn't have to. I just learned what Sinners was about during the commercial break, thanks to Casey's good buddy.
Was it about Damien?
iPod, man. No. Come on, don't listen to that guy.
Well, apparently you got to stay away from white women. I guess that's what the whole movie's about. Kenny didn't tell us that part when he told us about the movie earlier.
Get married in October, Kenny.
Man. Hey, pod, man. Come on, Joe. What's Joe talking about, man?
Let's see what TC's talking about. 916-909-1320 Oak Grove Kia Talk Line. TC, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC? How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Vibing, tapping in. It's kind of, you know, it's starting to heat up. You know, everything heating up. You know, they announced the Doug Christie. I heard you earlier, D-Lo. They waited on the news, man, till the homies was on, man, the top dog.
Good look.
You feel me?
It's a good look. Yep.
Period. You feel me? So, look, I came to a conclusion. So what Scott Perry was doing, right, not only was he, you know, talking to people saying, you know, hey, you know, maybe this will work out. You know, you want to come on as assistant. I think he was getting at a lot of the coaching staff and a lot of the organization like, hey, man, it's going to be me and Doug in here, man. I don't care about the Vivek. No, none of that. Vivek's the homie, but it's me and Doug. Are you in? Yes or no? I think that's what it was. Are you in? Yes or no? And if you're not, then we'll find a spot for you and get you out of here, coaches and players. If you all in with me and Doug, then let's ride. Let's go, Scott. That's all I got.
All right, Russell Wilson. Does Russell Wilson have a team?
He's a New York Giant.
That's right. He is a New York Giant. What is it? Giant.
Oh, that's
Giants for life.
What is their hashtag?
I don't know. NYG men. Bizarre. I don't know. Jackasses. That's the.
Wow, well, it wasn't very nice.
What did the Giants do to you?
Oh, they're part of what happened. They're part of what happened.
That is the worst situation you could have got drafted to, by the way.
The Giants?
Yes.
More than the Jets?
Russ will stink.
Well.
All right, then you're going to throw in. Whoever they're – oh, Jameis, throw him in.
Oh, Jesus.
And then Brian Daboll is going to be coaching for his job.
He's going to throw 7 interceptions in 2 games.
Throw Jackson Dart in there. Next thing you know, Jackson Dart's playing for a new head coach next year.
Daboll – I got irritated with Daboll over the weekend because I think that interview was highlighted a lot, and then they had clips of, like, last year, I think the draft prospects going through – little interview, and he's got him, hey, you got to change the ZY receiver to the H receiver. And with this, like, bro, you're not good. you're not good. I wasn't buying you the year that little sorry Giants team won all their bad games and got to the playoffs. Then was it 2 straight years of trash after that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not good. Who the hell are you?
Well, we're here. Let's just talk about it before we get back to basketball. Trista Crick will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You know, we tapped into the draft on Friday thinking, all right, Shador's probably going to go in these first 6 or 7 picks. And when he didn't go to Cleveland the second time, we knew, I think it was New Orleans was right after.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, all right, that's interesting. And then when New Orleans didn't take him, it was like, something's up. Mm. And of course, Friday goes by and he doesn't get drafted. Shador winds up getting selected in the 5th round. I believe it was pick 144.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's second quarterback taken in the draft. And a guy who was graded as first round talent universally, top 5 talent by many, and no worse than the 3rd best quarterback on the board, winds up going 144. Boomer Esiason was the first person who might have said the quiet part out loud, where, again, I mean, Boomer's a radio show host. You know, you could take this for whatever you want. He said he heard plenty of rumblings that owners went directly to front offices and says, take him off your board. We're not bringing him in here. Take him off your board. No matter where he's at, take him off your board. Those aren't my words. Those aren't report. That's what Boomer Esiason said. That's what he said he heard. Mm-hmm. Owners got involved and said they don't want Shador Sanders on their boards, mm-hmm. on their teams. And something we talked about Friday afternoon, before the draft started, before the second round started, sure got a lot louder over the weekend. We came in here on Friday and said it sure feels like the NFL was trying to make a point. And that discourse got really loud Sunday morning. The NFL had a point to make. This is a far cry from Colin Kaepernick. This is not the same thing.
Right.
However, in the if you widen the scope a little bit, yeah, it's a similar situation. We're putting someone in their place. Whether that someone is Shador Sanders, that someone is Deion Sanders, or that someone is the next hotshot NIL quarterback who makes a ton of money in college and thinks that they can dictate what they do in the NFL. Whoever the point was directed at, Shador Sanders was used as the catalyst to get that point across.
I absolutely believe that. And you raised the question on Thursday. You asked, do you think they make an example out of him? And I said, no, I don't think that'll happen. I think you were right from the jump. And I know there are a lot of people out there. I listened to my guy, Bomani Jones, talk, and he's completely on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're crazy if you think they colluded for Shador. And Bomani's like, he's not a Whitlock, right? Like he'll when it's time to, you know, stand up, he'll stand up. But he's like, this isn't one of those times.
Yep.
Shador wasn't that good. There are a number of different reasons why. He makes good points. I just disagree. I completely disagree. You can't tell me that for, we'll say at least a year, maybe two, I watched Shador Sanders play with my own two eyes. I watched the passes he made with my own two eyes and sit here. And then when it's time for draft time, tell me that some guy named Tyler Show, whoever the guy is from Louisville, Dylan Gabriel, and Jalen Milroe are better quarterbacks than Shador Sanders. I've seen him for 24 games now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen these guys for 24 games, so I'll concede to that. But I've seen enough of Dylan Gabriel. I've seen enough of Show. I've seen a lot of Jalen Milroe against my favorite team, Michigan, where it was like, yeah, let him throw. This guy can't beat us. You can't convince me that these guys are more talented more NFL ready and have more promise than Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So once I look at it in that scope, now it's like, okay, well, this isn't about football. This isn't about talent. And if look, if you believe that a guy personality-wise isn't a good fit for your program, or you don't have to take anybody just because they're talented. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But him going in the fifth round, that seemed egregious.
I mean,
it seemed absolutely egregious.
It was kind of out there in the open what was going on. The Jeff Jonathan tweeted, based on his convos around several people, with several people around the league, that he tweeted like different points why Shador's not getting taken. Point B was a somewhat humbled Sanders is a more desirable Sanders to some teams.
Mm.
Like he's talking to people around the league for that.
Mm. And I'll say another thing too. I'll say another thing real quick about this. What it outlined to me is that you got a lot of individuals in these locker rooms, in these front offices, that just don't know how to deal with a confident black man. I heard things about his chains. I heard things. We talked about it on Friday about how they were trying to make, they would suggest people cut their hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be on the team, be more marketable and all this other stuff. Shedeur came for money, has his own money. It's like, I'm not doing none of that. I'm not doing none of that. I'm going to do things the way that I want to do it. Does that mean I'm not a team player? Does that mean I'm not a guy that's coachable? None of that means that, but I'm not going to come in here and conform to what you think a quarterback should be or behave like. And if you can't, here's the other thing about that. You can draft him, get him in your building, and work with him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to control him. You don't have to control him from the onset. You think he's talented? Ah, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges here and there. But I believe in him as a teammate. I believe in him as a guy that wants to win and is looking to win. And we'll work with all that other stuff. I'll tell you right now, I don't know Shedeur. I don't know anything about him, like personally. But if I was a general manager or I was an executive, Shedeur, get in here, man. Well, I know how to work with you. I know how to work with you to get the best out of you. And I don't think a lot of those guys in those front offices, in those coaches' room, Brian Daboll, have any clue how to deal with a guy like Shedeur Sanders and get the best out of him and incorporate him into a winning situation. They've got no clue. And they showed that with some of their decisions over the weekend.
I think there are some interesting things out there regarding Shador's play is always fascinating because this is where, like, the Colin Kaepernick stuff can really come into play, where people who try to convince you, well, Colin Kaepernick wasn't a good quarterback anymore. All right, pull up the numbers from the year before. He was on one of the worst teams in professional football, and tell me he was bad. And you can't. That conversation usually dies there. If Bomani Jones thinks that Shedeur Sanders is trash, that's fine. As long as he said he was trash last year. As long as during all of I vaguely remember Bomani hating all of the Deion Sanders stuff, just hating everything that Deion was doing and dating back to Jackson State and all of that stuff. Like, I recall Bomani being one of those guys who didn't care for any of it, and that's fine. But when you're evaluating a player, if the take is Shador's not good, that's fine. And I know Bomani had something about mock drafts and how we're stupid because we read them. That's perfectly fine as well. As long as you keep that same energy in every walk of this. Because what you can't do is when next year rolls around and you're talking about the NFL draft or the number one pick, or you're even talking about the NBA draft this coming offseason, don't reference a Mel Kiper. Don't reference a Sam Vecenie. Don't mention any of these guys who study these college players and work their sources around the league to try to come up with what a mock draft might look like. Because you can't in one vein say, well, look how spot on the analysts were with this, this, and this, and this, and this, when every single one of them had Shedeur graded as a first-round talent. When every single one of them have him graded as no worse than the third quarterback, and there were only a few that had Jackson Dart ahead of him. No worse than the third best quarterback on the board. Mm-hmm. Don't go citing something else because it fits your argument when you just said all of this stuff is trash. So everybody, and it's fine, Bomani may be right. We're all stupid enough to read these mock drafts. We're all stupid enough to read these. Mock drafts are one thing. We all know mock drafts that, oh, we're going to move this name here, because we want you to read our article next week. And then we're going to have the final mock draft on the Thursday of the draft. Great. That's all fantastic. Where you slot these players isn't relevant. The way you evaluate them is. You don't put a quarterback, you don't put a player in the first round of your draft for clicks. You don't take them out for clicks. You evaluate who they are as a quarterback. Their arm strength doesn't change. Their accuracy doesn't change. All of the little attributes about, they don't change. So whether you have them going in the first round, the second round, the problem with the NFL is they threw all the money in the pot. And they're like, no. We're not going to make a point just for the primetime rounds. We're going to draw this out. And I said to Kenny yesterday, I wonder if the agreement was, Cleveland, you can have him. Just wait.
It's a pretty ironic coincidence that Cleveland gets him.
He winds up in the place everyone expected. Now, you know, again, this is one of those things where if you really believe they colluded, a lot goes into this. There can't be a paper trail. I always joke Mark Davis is going to be the one who screws up the Colin Kaepernick
Come
thing.
Come on, Mark.
He's going to be the one who sent. There's going to be some email where Mark Davis is like, hey, are we still doing this? Can I talk to Cap's agent or no? And like, that's the one email that exists and everyone goes down. There's a lot that goes into keeping a player off of being drafted, especially if you think they can help your team. So the whole sentiment is pretty rich, except when you recognize the NFL has done it before. Mm. And as we laid out on Thursday and again on Friday, the NFL does not like stars. And the fact that these college athletes now have a bigger profile than they ever have, and you have one of the most high-profile NFL players in history, Deion Sanders is a name and a face that the league will never, ever, ever forget. And they hate it. And he goes to Jackson State and does what he does. He goes to Colorado and does what he does. And now he has a son who has every bit the level of confidence and flamboyance that he has. And they hate it. And they're going to make sure you know that they hate it. It's tough to bury QB1. It is not tough to bury QB4. He has to go into that camp and be better, massively better than everyone on that roster. The trickiest part is he has to get the opportunity to be massively better than anyone. So I think he's the fourth quarterback in that quarterback room. Yeah. One of them is gone, and that's Deshaun. Mm-hmm. So he's got to beat out Kenny Pickett, I think it was the other name, whoever the hell that guy is that they drafted.
Dan Gabriel.
Fine, if you say so. And that's how he winds up becoming a quarterback in the NFL.
So check this out. This is the thing that also raises my antennas.
You got Joe Flacco in there too, right?
Yeah, Flacco's in there as well.
Yeah, let me just take a pick quick.
Joe's going to be the week one starter, though.
Joe will turn 41 years old during the season.
You're right.
More or less, 4.5 weeks.
More.
No chance.
I think so.
None. Mm. This league, because of Tom Brady and perhaps LeBron James, have broken these people. Wow. It's why the Pittsburgh Steelers stupid asses are sitting around waiting for that goofball to come play quarterback for them. Y'all have really convinced yourselves that what Tom Brady and LeBron James did is the norm. It is not. Tell me with a straight face, Joe Flacco can quarterback your football team at 41 years old, at 40 years old, for more than half of a season.
I'm not asking him to play for my team.
Freaking chance.
The Cleveland Browns are. It's the ones who drafted two quarterbacks
in
the same draft.
There's no way he lasts more than 4 weeks.
Well, the other part of this.
Cut this. Share it in 4 months. There's no way.
The other part about this is Mel Kiper saying what he said. Well, we talked about. I talked about on Friday. He said that they've shown for 50 years. These people don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. So forgive me if I'm not level. The draft is spoken. Reese Davis the whole time. The draft is spoken. They spoke. There's something there that they didn't evaluate. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. What you just laid out right now is a prime example of that. You think Joe Flacco, you're going to go to Myles Garrett and you're going to go to all these other people out there and say, this man is giving us the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl? Everybody should be fired. If that's what they're saying, if that's what they're really believing, Joe Flacco, out of every quarterback in the damn world, is the one that gives us the best chance to win a Super. That's why I said these people don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. They have no clue what they're doing half the time. If you look at Flacco and Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel, they're saying like this is great. We win it. Please. Please. So here's the other thing about this situation that just raises my antennas.
In 3 years, Kenny Pickett has thrown for 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions.
There's no disrespect to him, but this guy's been a certified bum by NFL quarterback standards.
You can't say no disrespect to him and then call him a certified bum.
Yeah. By NFL quarterback standards. That's what he's been. Not by 7-on-7 at Bartholomew Park.
I understand. You just can't say no disrespect and then call the man a certified bum.
So here's the other thing. There's two things that I've heard during this whole situation that I just take note of. Number one, the big story right now is that Shedeur Sanders' interviews were horrible. Were just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewed bad, was cocky, unprepared, all this other stuff. Everything bad about the interviews that you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogance was the one, right? Because everybody said he needed to be humbled. Arrogance was the one. Arrogance. We saw that pretty much that entire weekend from the Sanders house, because they were live streaming. Clips would come out almost immediately with him and Shiloh. I'll ask you, I won't lead the witness, I'll just ask you, at any moment during him going through what he was going through in front of the world, the embarrassment, everything else, did you ever sense a guy that was just arrogant and full of himself?
No.
I didn't either. When he was drafted in the 5th round, see, to me, somebody who's arrogant and full of themselves, in that moment, it's about time. I'm about to show all these bums. Yeah, y'all messed up. All this other stuff. When he got drafted, what did that?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Mandu.
Thank God for the opportunity.
Celebrate it, dance. Yep. Grateful as I don't know what.
Yep.
So something's not adding up to me. If he was just this demon in these interviews, where was that in one of the most trying times of his life? One of the most, for some people would think, embarrassing times in his life. He flipped that on his head. It wasn't embarrassing at all. He was grateful the entire time. Grateful for the opportunity. Something's not adding up. So, look, I'm not saying they're lying. I'm just saying it's real convenient that that was the rap that everybody said. But in a moment of adversity, he showed none of that cockiness and arrogance and all this other stuff, only humility. Here's the other thing that I'll say, too, because I was having a conversation with some people and they keep making this correlation. And I just don't think they understand what the hell goes on in these situations. They're blaming Deion and they're saying Deion, you know, he's Shador is this privileged kid who played under Deion and all this other stuff. And it's just like the Ball brothers and LeVar was so bad. First of all, I don't think you guys have been around a lot of successful basketball players who are mentored by their fathers or coached by their fathers, mainly black fathers. Because LeVar and Deion, when them lights are on, when the cameras are in front of them, they ain't going to tell you the negatives about their son, about who they are, about what they think about. They are going to build them up to be as great as they possibly can when them cameras on. I've seen a number of different times when cameras were still on, but it wasn't ESPN. LeVar lay into LaMelo. Tell him everything that's bad, not in an abusive way, but just lay into him to give him real talk. And then we talking about Deion Sanders, one of the greatest players that ever played a game, one of the most competitive players that ever played a game with the highest standards in the world. You think he ain't never laid into Shador about the things that he does wrong? So this narrative that these fathers, because they celebrate their sons in public and to the people that look to tear them down every opportunity they get, won't do the same in public, thinking that they don't do this in private and when they're working with them and when they've been with them their entire lives, you guys are sadly mistaken. And that's something that people just need to smarten up about, in my opinion.
Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get her thoughts on Doug Christie as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. We will get her thoughts on everything going on in the NBA playoffs as well. We want to hear from you, 916-909-1320. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Went out to get my juice, walked back in. Kenny was screaming about bums. I can't leave the studio without Kenny screaming about something. I walked in and all I heard was, "He's a bum!" Like, oh, man, what is going on in here? Then I saw the message on the chat. It was like, oh, they're talking about the Cowboys. That makes sense.
Or the Giants, the Giants.
Oh, I thought my man said he was a Cowboys fan.
Oh, yeah, he is a Cowboy. But he was like, well, you know, the Giants said that Shador had a terrible interview process. I said, they all suck. Who cares? The Giants haven't done one right thing in 2 years with evaluating quarterbacks, running backs, water boys. They've been bums. So who cares what their process is? They should all be fired.
What is the process for hiring a water boy?
Whatever it is, it needs to be the opposite of what the Giants do.
Okay. The Giants, who very publicly let Saquon Barkley walk and actually got lied about by the president of the United States yesterday or over the weekend.
Oh.
So bad that the Giants actually had to release a statement like, yeah, that didn't happen. So the president of the United States lied about something stupid. Stunner. I know, this is shocking. It's just really scary when he lies about serious stuff. Who had it worse? NFL general managers or NBA officials?
NBA or NFL general managers.
Okay. NBA, NBA officiating was pretty bad this weekend.
Well.
In Casey's team ref on this one, pal.
No, I wouldn't say I'm team ref. That was a foul by everything I've seen of the NBA.
Well, it doesn't matter what you saw. They saw it and were like, yep, our bad. Like, that's – the NBA has to fix their end-of-game officiating protocols. Immediately after the game, acknowledging that you made a mistake in a playoff – I'm sorry, was there any lose sleep tweets over this one? Because this is a playoff series. Wasn't that a Christmas Day game? Or was it just a primetime game?
Yeah, Saturday
it was just this ABC game.
Yeah.
And so they were embarrassed on national television. This was a playoff series that would have gone the other way had you called the foul. And now the Detroit Pistons, who are, you know, fighting their asses off, are in a 3-1 deficit. And immediately after the, not the last 2-minute report, immediately after the game, the officials go, yeah, it was more than marginal contact. It should have been a foul call. That doesn't fix anything. And I know we talk about the last 2-minute report, all of that stuff. In a playoff series, in the final moments, you have to have some sort of mechanism to prevent stuff like this from happening. To be able to say publicly, immediately following the game, in front of reporters, missed it. Yeah, sorry. There has to be some way that this can better be orchestrated to where playoff series aren't being determined by referees missing calls like that.
I don't think anything needs to be done during the game. The only thing that needs to be done is they just need to shut up. Because you get no brownie points. Nobody respects transparency and honesty. So why even say anything?
I know you're a Knicks fan. You're fine with the way that game ended.
It's beyond the Knicks. Like, it's real talk. Like, I'm fine with human error from time to time. I don't want robot refs. I don't want robot umpires. Like, you're not going to get everything perfect all the time.
JB Bickerstaff, maybe don't use your challenge in the first 2 minutes of the game, too.
Bro,
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy.
That was awful. That was the worst challenge of all time. It was an out-of-bounds play with, like, 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Or if you looked at it, like, even then, it was like, I don't know if it's overturned. It wasn't blatant. And this guy challenges. And I said at the time, like, if he loses that may come back to hurt. I don't know I didn't know the game would be that close, but I was like, that may come back. I'm going to remember that. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So, and even then, he wouldn't have been able to challenge that play anyway. But
yeah, nothing was called.
I don't want to say I don't have a problem with it because I want him to get it right, but I don't want robots and I don't want more reviews. And you're gonna miss some things. You're gonna get some right. That was a foul. That was a foul at the end of the game. Once again, by everything that I've seen over watching basketball for X amount of years, that was a foul. They didn't get it right. You know what I mean? But I don't want more stoppages. And I know you're talking about like the end of the game and getting it right. Sometimes you don't get it right at the end of the game. Sometimes you miss that. Sometimes your mistakes and what you didn't do as a team puts you in those situations where you do have people determined. They had the Knicks were DOA going in that fourth quarter. The Pistons were ready to put them to bed in game four. And they let this hobbled Jalen Brunson come back and torch them, destroy them in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy could barely walk, and what I think happened there is the bad ankle probably just got a tweak, and that's something that you got to deal with for, like, 5-10 minutes, but it's not structural. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I'm weak here. You get everything back, and you can go out there, and it'll be like nothing ever happened. But they got torched in that fourth quarter by Jalen Brunson on one foot. Cat hit some big-time shots. And it's letting this final play is masking what they didn't do to close that game out to begin with. They were up 11-12 in that fourth quarter, and they blew it. So that's kind of how I feel about like officials and stuff like that. Like I mean,
all of that is true. It doesn't change the fact that you missed a call at the end of a game, and then it, like you missed a game affecting call.
You missed the call.
Like you blow a 10-point lead, Jalen Brunson. All of that is whatever. Like that's the New York Knicks control, that or that's the Detroit Pistons control. They can't control what happens on that. They did everything they were supposed to do on that final play, and the refs didn't, and then go, yep, we didn't.
So that goes to that age-old question of, is that play more important than a missed call with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter?
In that, I mean, yeah. Like it is. Like
it's, I don't know about that.
Like, we can backtrack because so you miss a call in the first quarter, team's got to adjust. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't change the fact that someone picked up a foul or this happened or that happened. But you have, if it's the first quarter, you have 30-some-odd minutes to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. You have 30-some-odd minutes. There's nothing you can do in this situation. You called the play. You ran it. You took the shot. You were fouled. You can't adjust anymore. The officials missed the call on the last possession of the game in a playoff game.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's more important than a missed call. I'm not even going back to the first quarter. 4 minutes, that's a physical-ass game.
No, I understand.
And 4 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, if you miss a foul call, but that would have gotten somebody in foul trouble or would have had somebody fouled out or something like that. Like, that matters
but
just
it's,
as much.
Yes, but we're when you're in like – I understand that, and I'm not arguing that, but I'm also like you're probably – you have challenges in the NFL. They're only good for 58 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're triggered by the league in the final 2 minutes of a game. Mm-hmm. Well, why can't it be the same way? In the end, you're willing because this isn't about stopping play. You're willing to stop play if you're not sure, Kings fans. If DeMar DeRozan's foot was on the 3-point line, mm-hmm. you'll stop play because. If it was a two or a three, you can't wait till the timeout. It's late in the game. They have to know whether they have to know the deficit, the lead, whatever. So they'll stop play for that. They'll stop play for certain other things in the fourth quarter. It's not a stop play thing. It's you have to get these calls right. And you've got an entire replay center that can just look at this real quick. Hold on. How many times do we – hold on, everybody. You walk to the table. Clear. No foul. 0.3 seconds left. It's not that difficult to me. But I understand it can't be for 48 minutes. Like, that has to be in 2 minutes. You could do 2 minutes of a crunch time game. I feel like there's ways that you can finesse this. Maybe it's not even 2 minutes. Maybe it's a minute. I don't know. It just feels nasty to end a game that way. Go, oh, the officials missed it. And then maybe to your point earlier, stop acknowledging you missed it.
Just don't say nothing.
We all know you did.
Right.
And to come out there, not even in the last 2 minute report, just going, yeah, it was more than marginal. We missed it.
I mean, I understand.
All right, man.
They're trying to have transparency.
The transparency is not for us. The transparency is for Las Vegas. It's not for us. That's all this stuff is. It's all of this stuff is to show, no. This isn't a Tim Donaghy thing again. We promise. Look, hey, guys, sorry. We missed it. That's what this is. They're not talking to us. They're not talking to fans. They're talking to Las Vegas.
That's one thing, Adam Silver, I would get rid of that. Like, pool reporters, all this other stuff. Or if it's judgment calls like that, because that's the other thing about, like, the toe on the line and that last play. Once again, it was a foul. But that's a little that's more subjective than a toe on the line, right? Because you're saying like, well, did Hardaway, and some one ref might look at it as Hardaway initiated the contact. Others will look at it as Hart initiated. Like there's two people could be seeing two different things right there. It's foot on the line, foot's on the line. You know what I mean? So that's why the replay might happen for something like that. But they don't even need to be talking about it anymore.
Yeah, at this point, like, you probably don't.
It doesn't help anything.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.